as a disclaimer for those of you who are listening online, because of several concerns, including safety, this will be a sermon on a similar topic as we spoke about this Sunday, but a drastically different presentation. We had a guest speaker from a group called Open Doors. Open Doors is an organization that's been at work for more than 50 years serving persecuted Christians around the world, which is in about 50 countries at the moment. Persecution can be many things, religious persecution. It can include discrimination in education or employment opportunities. It can be imprisonment. It can be physical violence, torture, and even death. And Open Doors works to help Christians that are in these sorts of environments. It provides literature distribution. It provides leadership training. It tries to encourage Christian community development inside of those areas, as well as advocacy outside of those areas, so that people realize what's happening to our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. So our topic today is we will be looking at the fact that Jesus identified with the persecuted. In the presentation from the Open Doors representative, he asked an important question for all of us. And his question was this: are we prepared to serve with the willingness to be forgotten? This goes against much of our natural tendencies. Maybe we love to serve, but often people want to get some sort of recognition. But the question is, are we as individuals and are we as a church willing to fulfill God's purpose to serve while having that willingness to be forgotten? And we'll start in the Bible by looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll start at verse 5. It says, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Again, are we willing to be forgotten? We're not preaching ourselves. It's simply about Jesus and about his people. We are servants of our brothers and sisters for Jesus' sake. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." Some quick thoughts just based off of these verses. We are clay jars. We are weak and fragile things. And yet we are asked to find beauty in our brokenness, that we are jars of clay, but we hold a treasure inside of us, a treasure that's from God, something bigger than we are. And then, yes, struggles will keep coming. We will be hard-pressed. We will be persecuted. We will be perplexed and not always understand what's going on. But don't give up. The speaker said that often people ask the wrong questions. We're perplexed, and we ask why. And people said, are our prayers any good? Are they doing any good? We've been praying and praying for persecuted Christians, but when we look in the news, when we look at what's happening, there are still so many who are persecuted. And one time when the speaker was in a country where people are persecuted, and he was speaking with a woman who was living under persecution, and he asked her about this. He said, "These are the questions I hear sometimes. How would you respond to someone who says, or someone who asks, are my prayers doing any good?" He said the woman, she almost fell out of her chair. She was so shocked that people would ask such a thing. And she said, "Of course the prayers are meaningful. Of course the prayers are doing good." And she continues to see God's direction in her life. And she told stories of how she'd been led by God. And she said, "How else could that be happening if it were not God leading and if people were not praying? And so we should not give up. We should not give up our hope. And even when we're perplexed about why things are happening, do not despair. In the later part of the scripture that we see, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. We see the full Jesus, both death and life. We see the hardship, but also the victory. And as the speaker continued to share stories continually of what it is that God is doing, we see that God is at work all around the world. He has not given up on his people. But he said, even then, we're still left often with questions, but God doesn't often give us answers. He gives us himself. Jesus, when he was speaking, we have it recorded in Matthew chapter 5, that he says that blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, in the very presence of where God is. Blessed are you when people insult you or persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. This idea of even in persecution, we should see that we're blessed. And we should count others as blessed. Now, that doesn't mean that this should lead us to being ignorant or indifferent. We shouldn't just say, well, those people are blessed, so who cares? We should just let it go on. Of course not. Jesus himself often stood up for the oppressed. And we see an example of this even after his death and resurrection. But a main idea I would like us to see is that we should take comfort in knowing that as we identify with Jesus in his death, just as we saw in the verse in 2 Corinthians, that we identify with Jesus in his death, he identifies with us in our sufferings for his sake. In the book of Acts, we have the story of a man named Saul who's going around persecuting Christians. And then he was going to a certain city named Damascus to persecute more of them, to find them and put them in jail. And then we're told that suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul asks, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, is the response. You see, Saul is persecuting men, women, children, those that are assigned to follow Jesus. But when Jesus speaks to Saul, he says, why do you persecute me? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. See, Jesus doesn't ask why he's persecuting Christians or followers of Jesus. Jesus directly identifies with them. They are his body. So if one part suffers, he suffers. If one part is persecuted, he is persecuted. Jesus radically identifies himself with those that are persecuted. He shows that he has not forgotten them. And we're recommended that we shouldn't either. This man Saul, who was persecuting Christians and had this encounter with Jesus, his life was radically changed from then on. And he goes out to be someone who is a confident and bold witness for Jesus. And he starts up these churches, and some of them then are facing persecution after it. And he's able to see around at these various communities, and he writes to one church in Corinth, and he says, you can find it in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 24 to 26. He says, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. he had had a conversation with Jesus and learned this so closely that if there's persecution happening, it's happening to Jesus and to his whole body. And so later when he's talking about that the church, we as followers of Jesus are a body, he again brings this up. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. So our Jesus life step for this week is this. Pray each day for persecuted Christians. Each day this week, 7 days. And you can definitely do it longer. But take time to remember them. Because as we are called to be like Jesus, now may we also have concern for all Christians, no matter where they're from, what their background is. And may we seek to help them. May God bless you.